Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word and turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. As I continue the mini-series in this long series, Don't Worry, Pray, and Be Happy, Part 6, Praying Through the Bible, number 319, Dennis Prager, a Jew who does not trust Christ as Savior, said that you can be as happy as you want to be. He doesn't even know the Lord, and he believes that. And it is easier to be happy and joyful with the Lord and having the privilege of praying in his holy name to God, and joyful. But Dennis Prager believes people can choose to be happy and pleasant. And people, in his view, should understand, particularly when you have to deal with other people, particularly when you are married and you have a family, if you want that to work, you are obligated to choose to be happy and to be pleasant. But as a Christian, not only should you choose that, you must understand you have a whole lot of help to be that way. And it is quite frankly a shame before God Almighty for Christians, so-called evangelicals, to always be mad as hell, sad as the devil, mean as the devil, rebellious and stubborn as the devil. And it is a trick of the devil for so many so-called Christians today. You have, in many cases, you have been bamboozled. You have run amok. You have gone astray. And God is not pleased with your disobeying his commandment found in John 16. And talks about how that even in the midst of tribulation and trouble, the child of God ought to be cheerful. And you ought not to let even spiritual warfare let you down or keep you down. You ought not to let spiritual warfare steal your joy and your peace when you're serving God and you know you're doing God's will. Don't worry, pray, and be happy. Give it to God. Part 6, Praying Through the Bible, number 379, or 319. Number 319. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche. That's what the little lady told me on YouTube, her name is, how her name is pronounced. I like to say Syntyche, whatever. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. Some of you people are not happy. Some of you people are not joyful. And you're not at peace because you're constantly are at odds with somebody. You're not getting along with key people in your life. Yes, in the family and in the church. That you're not of the same mind. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that how can two walk together lest they agree? Verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women. Don't molest the women. Don't be always talking about how fine they are. God made them fine. What else would they be? Stop. It didn't say lust after the women pastors, church leaders. Always thinking about how you can get with them. Paul, way back yonder, told the brethren, the yoke fellows, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Show these women respect and honor, for they labored with me, the great apostle Paul, in the gospel. They're not to be used. They're not to be raped. They're not to be assaulted. They are to help in the ministry. Can somebody say amen? And if you're wondering who is the somebody who is laying the boom down on the whoredom and the whoremongering and the raping and the assaulting in America and around the world, and raining hell on the heads of powerful men, is none other than God, in case you're wondering. And it is a result of more Christians praying as they should. Be that as it may, in the gospel with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And by the way, you men who hate women and you don't like women to be around and talking about you want a man's church and all of that, and then you're going to be in out of place and you probably won't be there, because there are going to be many women in heaven, if you will. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Why is it that you're not rejoicing? Why is it that you don't have joy, or you don't choose to have joy in your life? In most cases, as I've dealt with this already, it is because of S-I-N, sin in your life. Your heart is not right with God, and your heart is not right with others. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word today. We praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for your Holy Spirit that makes your Holy Word come alive to our spirits and minds and lives. And Holy Father God, help us to learn how to pray. Help us to learn how to stop worrying, stop fretting, and to spend that time praying and truly be happy in you. Not only sometimes, but all of the time, every day, each and every day. each and every hour of the day. And help us to always keep our hearts and minds stayed on you by praying without ceasing. And as your word tells us, you will keep us in perfect peace. For those of us who are truly born again and saved by your grace. And Holy Father God, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit and your Holy Gospel, lost souls would come to know you as Savior and immediately experience the peace and the joy that you have allowed so many of us to enjoy and experience in our lives. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the devil is extremely busy. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts. Lord, from this time together, rebuke and bind the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness from this place and out of the hearts and minds and lives of those who have that issue in their lives, so that your holy gospel can once again go forward. For by your grace, this is not our first rodeo. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. He'll take something as simple as this and use a Judas and try to mess it up and keep people from hearing what they need to hear. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the hundreds that are gathered around the world via 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 different live streams right now going out of this place. And we thank you for the thousands who participate and watch on demand. And we praise you and we thank you for drawing them in. And we pray that you would continue to draw even more. And we pray for more souls to be saved and lives to be changed through the simple preaching of your holy word. Glorify your holy name. Lord, let them know, even though I don't try to address them personally and try to get them to put up likes, which we call amens. And we don't try to get them to bring other people. We don't wait for a certain number. And we thank you, Lord, however, that they come anyway. And we pray that you will let them know that they are appreciated and loved and prayed for. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we are in a rather long series of messages focused on prayer. And the series is titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you and to challenge you and to motivate you, if you will, to pray to the God of the Bible. I wish that you were just swept up to pray, and I'm sure you wish that as well. But in the Christian life, God will help you to pray. God will prompt you to pray. But you as a Christian must choose to pray as well. Like with other things you may not feel like doing. By the grace of God, we have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 318 messages in this series. This is message number 319, titled Don't Worry, Pray, and Be Happy. This is part six. And I want to say right at the outset something I've said before, but it bears repeating. And that is the reason why so many Christians are not truly happy. So many Christians are not truly joyful and are not at peace, and they are constantly beset by worrying and fretting. It's simply because they don't pray without ceasing like God has commanded us. And this bears repeating because people forget this so quickly. That's one of the reasons why if you don't go to a Bible-believing church somewhere, you need to go, because it is amazing how quickly the devil will snatch important things like what I just said out of people's hearts and minds. I guarantee you that if you're depressed today, you don't need a whole lot of counseling and talking, as some believe. In fact, most of us as Bible-believing Christians, so-called evangelicals, we already know what the counselor is going to tell us. We already know what the Word of God says. Our problem, and that is the reason for this long series, is we don't do what God tells us to do. And therein lies the problem in your life, in the life of your family, and in the life of your church. And some of us have a whole lot of activities going on, but no God. God is not the God of activity. He doesn't need a bunch of activities going on. He needs you. He needs for you to communicate with Him. And He will, I assure you, communicate with you. And one of the reasons why we don't pray and we want to go talk with some man or some woman is because we don't like oftentimes what God has to tell us while we are praying. You know you need to get your heart right with your husband. You know you need to make things right with your wife. You know you need to make things right with your parents. Some of you need to make things right with your pastor. You got a beef going on with your pastor. That's precisely what the devil wants you to do. He's got you tied up like Sintaish. I hate that pronunciation, by the way. And Uodias with some mess. And if you don't have a connection with the lost, because you don't witness to them, you don't tell anybody about Jesus, so you know. And all of your lost friends, you don't know them anymore. And so the only people that you can truly fellowship with, your family has forsaken you, are those in the church, and the devil will get in between you and your pastor, or you and some other brother or sister in the church, to the point where things are not right, to the point where you can't even pray. And so the problem in the church today is everybody is playing with a bunch of activities and nobody is praying. My daughter, oldest daughter, is participating in helping a church get a early morning prayer meeting going, and she goes faithfully. But very few people come to the prayer meeting. Church has hundreds who come on Sunday morning. but only a handful pray every day of the week. Many of them don't realize that whatever good is coming out of that church comes from that little prayer meeting they have every morning. Most prayer meetings today, the pastor does not even show up. The head deacon does not even show up. When everybody ought to be showing up for the prayer meeting. Thank God there has been somewhat of a revival of the Wednesday night prayer meeting. Not a full revival, I said somewhat. In other words, more people are going to church on Wednesdays now than just maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And we thank God for that. But it's still just a handful. Now, it does not matter what you think of the man I'm getting ready to quote. I like the quote. He's not necessarily my hero, and I do not agree with everything that he has taught. His name is John Calvin. He said, "The peace of God does not depend on the present aspect of things, and does not bend itself to the various shiftings of the world, but is founded on the firm and immutable Word of God." So many of you are unstable, and you're up and down. You're up and down, you're in and out in the course of a day, because your life is unstable, because you're not praying as you should, and you're not reading the Bible and living by what the Bible says as you should. Recently, one of my daughters and I watched a documentary on the great Nina Simone. I found out that she is from my home state of North Carolina, Tryon, North Carolina, and the city I'm from has the Tryon Palace. And she lived an amazing life. Her family coming out of slavery and engulfed in Jim Crow, had nothing. I mean nothing. But she had a talent. She was young, gifted, and black. She had experienced racism and prejudice in the Deep South. And, however, she was determined to be the first classical pianist, black classical pianist, at least female. And two old white ladies somehow heard her play what she had learned by ear. Of course, the music was in her. Black folks didn't have any lessons back in the day. It was definitely a gift from God. And the white ladies, two old white ladies, took her under her wing. She kept talking, Nina Simone kept talking about how she had to cross the tracks to the white lady's house. And she played for hours. And those ladies started a fund and helped her go to Juilliard and so forth and so on. But as her life went on with great opportunities, great privileges, and by the way, I'm convinced what King Solomon told us all, time and chance happeneth to us all. Let me tell you something, people. God put you on this earth at a specific time to do something specific. There's nothing by chance. And if you obey God and you follow God, you'll be amazed at what God will do with you and in your life. And everybody has a gift. But as time went on in Nina's life, she did not follow the Lord. And I believe that this is one of the reasons why her life ended so tragically, is because her mother was a preacher. And she was raised up in the church. And she first played in the church. God had given her a gift. And she played in the revivals. But as time went on, she forsook the Lord and did not follow the Lord as she should have. And we've seen it happen over and over again. Folks realize their gift in the house of God and serve God. God gave them the gift to serve Him, and they get hooked up with the wrong crowd and begin to use their gift for the devil. And you know that that's a tragedy when we do that. But be that as it may, she started to lose it. Some say she started having some serious mental issues. There was definitely some demonic activity going on. And Nina Simone, who was famous and very popular at one time, she's known to run up to Martin Luther King Jr. and say, "I'll help you, Reverend King, but I'm not nonviolent. I just want to let you know I'm not nonviolent." But she started to lose her way. She had no, with all her riches, all of her money, all of her fame, she was not happy. In fact, she was quite miserable. Why? Because she forsook the Lord, I do believe. She did not pray like her mother taught her. She did not read the Word of God. She did not stay with the Lord. And so she lost her mind. She lost her peace. Lost her joy. One of her friends who saw her in her heyday somehow met up with her in France towards the end of her life, and she was dressed in rags, according to him. He could not believe how terrible she looked. And if you watch the documentary, you'll see the physical changes in her face as she was losing it. And ladies and gentlemen, when you know to do good and you do it not, when you know the right way to go, and you've been taught the Word of God and raised in the church of God, and you forsake God and you turn from God and you don't pray and you don't read your Bible, you're opening yourself up for demon possession. And with that, there's no peace. There is no joy. And your life will end badly, as it did for her. Ladies and gentlemen, in this series, we have learned the importance of prayer. Now, you hear me and you hear me well. You can joke around and you can mess around and you can play around all you want to. If you don't get to praying, you're going to lose ground. We have talked about supplication, and we have talked about thanksgiving. If we want to, as the hymn writer says, live rejoicing every day, we must pray. We must practice supplication, and we must be thankful. If we take heed to these simple commands from God's word, simple. I'm not saying they're easy, for oftentimes prayer is one of the hardest things you'll ever do. That's why people don't want to pray. That's why I've done over 1,000 podcasts separate from preaching this series on encouraging people to pray, called the Prayer Motivator. The Prayer Motivator Devotional and the Prayer Motivator Minute. Multiplied thousands, I believe over a million people have listened to these podcasts. To be in, and you would think that prayer would be the easiest thing the Christian could do. But somehow God put in my heart to remind people or to tell people it's not. And you have to make up your mind to pray. And when you start praying, you will get opposition. The devil will attack you. The devil will try to stop you. And that's why people quit praying. And then when they quit praying, you open up a door for the devil to attack you and to oppress you and to make you depressed, discouraged, sad, mad, mean as the devil, hateful, full of worry and fretting. And then you add not reading the Bible. Then you add on disobedience to the Word of God. You have a toxic mess on your hands in your personal life, in your family life, and in your church life. So ladies and gentlemen, if we take heed to these simple commands, to pray, to practice supplication, to be thankful to God for all of the blessings He's already bestowed upon us. And I'm here to tell you again, God does not like ugly. Seriously, God has a problem with blessing you with all the blessings He's bestowed upon you, and you don't thank Him. You're not grateful for what He's already done for you, but you're constantly wanting more, constantly asking for more. So be careful about that. But if we did these things, we would not suffer from the anxiety and worry that seems to afflict so many, not only in the world today, but in the church today. In fact, one of the reasons why most churches have so much activity today is an attempt, I believe, to help people overcome their depression and their anxiety by keeping them busy instead of keeping them praying so that they can have peace and joy even outside of church and in the community where they need to be. It is amazing how that so many people go to church depressed on Sunday morning just to get their weekly fix, to get pumped up, at least temporarily, in an attempt to overcome their permanent depression, their permanent sorrow, their permanent worry and fretting. In most cases, we ask Christians, "How are you doing?" "Oh man, I could be doing better." "Man, I'm going through." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we will be able to be joyful and to rejoice in the Lord always if we pray without ceasing, practice supplication without ceasing, and practice thanksgiving to God without ceasing. That all goes together in your prayers. However, there is an even, there's a another benefit. It's not necessarily greater, but another benefit that we can enjoy if we follow the teaching of this passage of Holy Scripture. What is that benefit? It is the benefit of peace. I've told some of you the story how that when I first got saved, I immediately got a peace in my soul, like so many other Christians, that I had never experienced before. And it was recognizable by people who didn't even know me. So this is not just any peace, but the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Amen, somebody. And some of you are saying amen, and you don't have this peace yourself. Do you think the Almighty Creator of this universe is worried, fretting, or afraid? Do you think he frets over his creatures constantly going astray? Do you think man's petty wars and strivings and foolish talking are any discomfort to him? No, absolutely not. For has it occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? God in his ineffable majesty cannot be moved by the ceaseless, constant upheavals of the world, because he knows that the reason why that's happening is because we have violated his law. We have disobeyed his word. He created us from nothing, told us what to do, and we have rebelled against him. So therefore, you're going to have constant upheavals, constant mess, constant foolishness, constant unrest. And if America is not careful, if America is not careful, the greatest country on earth will end in a civil war. That's what the devil is setting this country up for right now. All smart people know that. All rich people know that. That's why they're building bunkers down in near New Zealand right now, many of the rich people. All of your rich celebrity friends, they have bunkers. When America collapses on itself, because no country outside of Israel has been more blessed than this country, and yet we're turning our backs on the God who made us great. And when you start turning your back on the God who made you great, you're going to start turning your back on one another. And that's what's happening in this country. And it's no president's fault, it's our fault. God is constantly at peace, and we are constantly in a rage. Why do the people rage? They rage because the people have turned wicked. They're evil. Not only are we sinners, we are sinful. And this particular passage tells us that we can, as Christians, partake in that very same peace that God has. That's the beauty of it. In this topsy-turvy world, and I feel sorry for you, my beloved, if your comfort food, if you will, is the news every day. You fill your mind with the news, so-called, which is all bad. I feel sorry for you if you are a news junkie. There's no way you can handle how fast the news is happening and how bad it's happening. You need to get your heart and mind on the Lord. You need to pray again. You need to supplicate again. You need to be thankful again. You need to cut the television off and read your Bible and start having family devotions again. Otherwise, you will lose your righteous mind. And that's what's wrong with so many people in the church today. We have more people today in the church who are faithful Republicans or faithful Democrats. They will put a sign up in their yard for a candidate, but not for Jesus. They'll pass out leaflets for their favorite candidate, but not pass out leaflets for Jesus. There are more people today concerned about politics than they are concerned about getting the gospel out. That's a fact in the church. And when their candidate gets mad, they get mad. And that's why they're so troubled. Because all of that stuff is nothing but a fickle mess. And God tells us not to entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life. And I am sad to report to you that the Christian movement that could have won America will not win America, because the church has forsaken what Jesus told us to do, and that is to simply go into all the world and preach the gospel and to love everybody for politics. And so we're headed for a civil war that will destroy this great country if people don't confess their sins and repent and the church stays focused on Jesus. Now, regarding this verse, regarding peace, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, "The peace of God guards the heart and the mind." You will remember that Paul was chained to a Roman soldier, guarded day and night. In like manner, the peace of God stands guard over the two areas that create worry, and that is the heart, wrong feeling, and the mind, wrong thinking. And I think we need to reverse those. The mind, wrong thinking, and the heart, wrong feeling. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So many Christians are feeling badly because they think badly. Their minds are not on God, and so their hearts are not on God. Their minds are not on Jesus Christ, and so therefore their hearts are not on Jesus Christ. Their minds are not on prayer first thing in the morning, and if you don't pray first thing in the morning, your whole day is going to be in trouble. If you are a child of God, everybody knows it. If you don't read the Word of God and keep your mind on God, if you don't pray without ceasing, I would recommend at least once an hour. The Lord's Prayer takes less than 1 minute to pray. Pray a short prayer. In the words of Warren Wiersbe, in the words of Rick Warren, pray breath prayers. Holy Father God, help me deal with this situation today. Lord, bless this trip. Lord, my son is acting like a demon. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, cast the demon out of his life. Holy Father God, my wife is acting like a Jezebel. Lord, I pray that you'll cast out the spirit of Jezebel in her life. Lord, my husband is acting like the devil. Lord, I pray that you would save his soul and change his life. And you pray like that over and over again. Whatever's troubling you or trying to trouble you, whatever is bothering you, whatever you are fretful about, whatever you're worried about, pray without ceasing and give it to God, and I guarantee you, you'll see a difference in your life. I guarantee you this from the Word of God, that you will not have that worry stuff going on, and you will not be fretting. You will have peace. That peace will remain with you all day long, no matter what you go through. And then when you can't find anything else to pray for, pray the prayer that I wrote for you. Lord, prepare us for good days and bad days. Lord, prepare us for celebrations and tragedies. Lord, prepare us for weddings and funerals. For both of those things are jam-packed with all kinds of emotions. Lord, prepare us for life and for death. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Give it all to God. Read the Word of God. My practice and what I've taught my family to do is pray a short prayer and then quote a verse from the Bible. If you don't have time to read it out of the Bible, quote it. You'll be amazed at the peace that passeth all understanding that you will get and keep. So, beloved, when we give our hearts to Christ in salvation, we experience peace with God. But the peace of God takes us a step further, if you will, into a life of blessing. A life of constant peace and joy. Some of you people are not happy. You're not at peace. You don't have joy constantly because you don't pray constantly. And you're letting the devil get in on you, in the words of Charles McKinney, and box your head. And oppress you and depress you. This does not mean the absence of trials on the outside, but it does mean a quiet confidence on the inside, regardless of circumstances, people, or things. Amen, somebody. And so, dear friend, wouldn't you like to have, wouldn't you love to have a peace that renders you unruffled by the problems of the world, the problems in your life? But what do we like to do? We like to handle it ourselves. We like to just do it all by ourselves. How many people are hurting right now because they are just bent, hell bent on trying to do things themselves? You couldn't save yourself, so you cannot live the Christian life yourself. You must trust in Christ. You must pray to Him and ask Him to help you. And God likes it that way, by the way. Most people live in a reactionary state of mind, a reactionary manner, allowing their feelings to be dictated by the happenings around them. This peace will seem strange at first for some of you. How can one be at peace when their world is being torn apart? But that is exactly why Paul calls it peace that passeth all understanding. Amen, somebody. You cannot understand it. It goes beyond our comprehension. It does not make sense on a human level. Yet, through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, it is still something that we can possess by the grace of God, but that most do not possess today. The successful pastor, everybody thinks he's a grand success, but underneath, his marriage is shot to hell, and they both know it. They know that they're phonies, and they are reading a script just to keep the money coming in. The children are not where they should be and not what they should be. The family is in disarray. And that pastor, after 16 years, after 26 years, after 36 years, the next news we get, he's blown his brains out in the garage. Why? Because they have a fake peace, a fake life. They are hypocrites, liars, phonies, and fakes. One man who messed up his life, a very popular Christian singer, and divorced his wife, had children out of wedlock while he was married to that wife, and then did what most of us men want to do, forsake our old wives and go get a nice young pretty thing. And all of a sudden, he wanted to wax wise and tell the church how that we're not honest. He's right. One of the biggest problems in the church today is that people are not honest. We just don't need to hear from him, because he was not honest with God, and he was not honest with his wife. The statement is true, but the messenger is the wrong one. And so, ladies and gentlemen, get honest with God. Stop playing and start praying. And with the peace of God, we can be happy, we can be joyful and rejoicing, no matter what comes our way. William Cowper said, "Fierce passions discompose the mind as tempests vex the sea, but calm content and peace we find when Lord, I want you to get this, when Lord, we turn to thee." If you don't have peace in your heart right now, yet you claim to be a Christian, it's because you have either sin in your life, or you're not turning to the Lord in consistent, regular prayer and reading of the Word of God, or both. You can have that peace today. You can have joy today again. If you would confess your sins and repent, start praying without ceasing, stop being so busy trying to escape your lack of peace and joy, afraid to be alone with God, always wanting to be with somebody else. You're depending on others more than you're depending on the Lord, and you know it. To keep it going, to keep juggling stuff before it all falls apart. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for being with us today. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts as your Christian people. Help us to confess our sins of prayerlessness, of not reading your holy word, of not practicing supplication and praying without ceasing, and not being thankful. And so, Holy Father God, in the words of your servant Curtis Hudson, who is now home with you, be thorough with us. Help us not to play games. Help us to truly confess our sins. Help us to repent and to get our hearts right with you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may be seated. If you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sins and are buried in the grave. We die spiritually, and our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. Thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now. You don't have to commit another sin if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. For Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now hell is an awful place of pain and torment and darkness. But the saddest aspect of hell to me is that once you enter the gates of hell, you will be there forever. I know that you say, preacher, don't try to scare me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just stating a fact. You say, preacher, I don't believe it. Your unbelief will not change that fact. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody else in the Bible, and in most preachers today, sad to say. And so, dear friend, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. The same Jesus who warned us about hell is the Jesus who said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you and for me, so that we can live forever with him one day. Pray and ask him to save your soul, to come into your heart today, and he will. He has promised it in Romans 10:9 and verse 13. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and thou shalt be saved. If you're willing to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, I'll be glad to lead you in prayer to help you pray to God regarding your salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, and I've committed other sins as well. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins and was buried on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Believe that today. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you. Real good is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God, we give you the glory, praise, and honor for how you have spoken to our hearts. We praise you and we thank you for what you have done, for what you're doing, and for what you will do. Lord, we pray that you would move by your Holy Spirit upon those who need to be saved. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears. And Lord, move by your Holy Spirit upon Christians who need to be revived. Glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And for his sake, amen.